I'd like to share with you today one, or perhaps if we have time, two profound thoughts of Hagoyen Rav Yitzchok Huttner Zitzal, who was the Reshiva of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin, and he wrote a series of svarim called Pachad Yitzchok, and his yahrzeit was recently on Chof Sivan right before Hanukkah. We know, we say it in the Al-Hanisim, that one of the goals of the Yevonim was Lahashkicham Torasecha, to cause Klal Yisrael to forget their Torah. So Rav Huttner points out that we have had four major Goliaths. We are presently in Golis Edom, and that is the longest of all the Goliaths. And in the past, we've had Golis Bavel, we've had Golis Parasumodai, and then we had Golis Yavon. And in all of these three Goliaths that preceded Golis Edom, eventually we were liberated. The Golis ended. But Rav Huttner points out, it would seem that there's a difference between Golis Yavon, the exile, the trouble that we had from Greece, and the ones of Porosimodai and Bavel, because Porosimodai and Bavel, we ended. There's no remnant of it. However, Golis Yavon, where one of their purposes was Lashki from Tarasecha, that we should forget the Torah, it would seem that although the Chashmonaim defeated the Yavonim, but there was something left over from that. Why? Because the Gemara tells us, actually a Mishnah, that there was, in the time of the trouble that we had from the Yevonim, there was the first argument between Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan. They forgot something of the Torah. If you didn't forget something from the Torah, there would be no argument. Why is there an argument that you have two opinions? Because there was something not clear, something was forgotten. So in the time of where the Yevonim perpetrated against the Bnei Yisrael, Lahashkicham Tarasecha, that we should forget the Torah, it seems they were successful, because that's exactly when we had our first machlokas between Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan about a certain halacha. So since the Yevonim darkened, the Rav Huttner has a play on words. We have the word chashecha and shikha. They have the same letters in those two words. Darkness and forgetting. Yavon, Chazal tells us, Yavon is represents choshech. There was darkness. In the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, it says that there was toihu, that refers to Bavel. There was voihu, that was modai. There was choshech, darkness, that's Yavon. They darkened the eyes of Yisrael with their gzeres. And then Tahoim, that's Edom. That's the Golos that we're living in now. So the superficial understanding of what the Yevonim did to Klal Yisrael is the following. That although the Chashmonaim defeated the Yevonim, but something of what the Yevonim tried to do remains with us till today. Bavel is gone. We have no shibud, no trouble from Bavel anymore. Parasumadai, that's a Haman in the time of Persia. That we have no trouble from that Golis of Parasumadai. But from Golis Yavon, although we defeated them, but they were successful, it would seem, to a certain point, because till today, that was the first machlokas, Yossi ben Yezer and Yossi ben Yochanan. But we have many, many more machlokas since then. And as until Yossi ben Yezer and Yossi ben Yochanan, everything was clear. There was no arguments. Nothing was forgotten. Now, with the Yavon, something became forgotten. And it seems that although we defeated them, but something remains, because we have forgotten many dinim of the Torah until this very day, and we have many different opinions. Rav Huttner says that's a superficial understanding. If you look deeper below the surface, you will understand it in a much different way. And what is that way? So Rav Huttner points out that when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos, it says, Asher Shibarta, and Chazal say on this, Yasher Koichacha Sheshibarta. Thank you, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, thank you that you broke the Luchos. So we have a rule, says Rav Huttner, which is called Bituloi Shel Torah Zuhi Kiyuma. Sometimes, by breaking the Torah, we fulfill the Torah. A person is Chas V'Shalom sick, you're Mechal Shabbos, in order to save a life. So you're Mevatel Shabbos, and you're doing it in order to save somebody's life. So there is a concept, or for example, hopefully we'll have time to speak about it at the end of the shiur, there is a din, that Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah, Mishnah and Gemara, you're not supposed to write down. But Rebbe saw that if they're not going to write down the Torah, the whole Torah is going to be forgotten. So Rebbe decided, Eis Lasis Lashem, there's a time where to do for Hashem, Heferu Sarasecha, that, which is what Rav Huttner is talking about, that Bituloi Shel Torah, Zui Kiyuma. Sometimes breaking the Torah, that keeps the Torah. Of course, the ones who decide this are the Chachmei Yisrael, who know how the Torah operates. They're the ones who can decide. This is now a time, it's an Eis Lasis. It's a time where we have to do something, and if we're not going to do it, then we're going to forget the whole Torah. So we have to write down the Torah Shebal Peh. So when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos, Hashem said to Moshe, thank you for breaking the Luchos. Now, breaking the Luchos, Chazal tell us, in the Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Dalet, represents forgetting the Torah. If Moshe Rabbeinu had not broken the Torah, then Klal Yisrael would never have forgotten anything from the Torah. So Rav Huttner says, what we're learning from this Chazal is, that when Hashem thanked Moshe for breaking the Torah, how do you thank Moshe for breaking the Torah, which causes forgetting the Torah? You're losing the Torah. The answer is, sometimes, and we'll have to explain how this works, but sometimes forgetting the Torah makes the Torah. How does forgetting the Torah make the Torah? For example, No. Sometimes forgetting the Torah makes the Torah. For example, when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, it says that Klal Yisrael forgot 300 halachas. They were so upset with the Ptira of Moshe Rabbeinu, they forgot 300 halachas. Until Asniel ben Knaz came along, and he brought back these 300 halachas with his pulpul. He was such a learned individual, Asniel ben Knaz, that he was able to restore the 300 halachas that had become forgotten in the Avelis of Moshe. He was able to restore it through his pilpul, through his mental ability of figuring out different things in the Torah. He brought the 300 halachas back. So what Rav Huttner is saying is, let's say Moshe Rabbeinu, when he died, they would have not forgotten the 300 halachas. We would have had them. But what we would have been missing was the pilpul of Asniel ben Knaz. Asniel ben Knaz, how did he derive the 300 halachas? He had to go through a whole back and forth shaklavataria, question, answer, challenging it, responding. That whole new area of pilpul would not have been. Because we would have had that luck, there would be no necessity for it. For example, I think what Rav Huttner is saying, he doesn't mention what I'm going to say right now, but this fits into his whole theme over here. There's a famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, which we've mentioned in the Shiurim before, where Rabbi Yochanan had a Chavrusa Rish Lakish, who was his brother-in-law, and then Rish Lakish did something wrong, and he had to die. And Rabbi Yochanan was upset because he didn't have his Chavrusa Rish Lakish. He went out of his mind. Heichen Bar Lakisha, Heichen Bar Lakisha, where is Rish Lakish? So finally the Chacham had mercy on Rabbi Yochanan. They sent Rab Lazar. Rab Lazar would be the new Chavrusa of Rabbi Yochanan. So whatever Rabbi Yochanan said, Rab Lazar said, Tanya the Messiah Lach, I'll bring you a proof that you're right. Rabbi Yochanan went out of his mind. Why? He says, when Rish Lakish was alive and I would say a statement, he would challenge me with 24 questions. I would answer with 24 answers. So the Rav Chashmaitza, the Torah became enlarged through the shakla v'tarya, through the back and forth, the give and take between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, it was not just that Rabbi Yochanan's statements were correct, but there were challenges and answers. So the Torah became great. But when you, Rabbi Elazar, are learning with me, everything I say, you tell me I'm right. Shkoyach, I'm right. But we're losing the Rav Chashmaitza. So what Rav Huttner is saying is that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu a shkoyach for breaking the Torah, because that caused shikhas haTorah, but the forgetting of Torah itself brought new Torah, which would never have been discovered had the Torah not been forgotten. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, if the people hadn't forgotten the 300 halachas, then when Asniel ben Knaz, there would be no pilpul developed to bring back those 300 halachas. And he goes a step further. The Chazal tell us that even though, as a result of forgetting, we have two opinions, like we had the example, Yosef ben Yezer said one way, and Yosef ben Yochanan said a different way, an argument, but would the Chazal say, whenever you have two legitimate opinions, which are based on the way the Torah is learnt, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim, both are considered part of the Torah of Hashem. And for example, let's say a Beis Din paskins like Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, and then a greater Beis Din, a hundred years later, let's say there comes a greater Beis Din in Chochmah than the previous Beis Din, they can paskin the other way. And then the halacha now becomes like the second opinion. Instead of it being like Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, now it'll be like Yossi ben Yochanan. So it comes out that, again, if the Torah hadn't been forgotten, there wouldn't be machlokas. But the machlokas itself is creating more Torah, because now instead of having one opinion, I have two legitimate opinions. We have a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And we say, in this world where Hashem goes with mercy, it's like Beis Hillel. Most of the time, Beis Hillel is more lenient than Beis Shammai. When Mashiach comes, we'll go stricter. It'll be like Beis Shammai. So, in other words, both opinions have a legitimacy, but the two opinions wouldn't have come about had there not been a forgetting of the Torah. The Ramban says that HaTorah nitna al daitam shel chachmei haTorah. The way Hashem gave the Torah is that you down here have to decide, based on the rules of how the Torah is learnt, what the din is. And therefore, if the Chachamim say one way, and then later they change the other Chachamim come and disagree, and they have a right to disagree on the first ones, the halacha will be like the second ones. But the point being, none of this would have come about had the Torah not been forgotten. And then we go a step further. So this is what I was saying, the Rav Chashmaitza, the enlargement of the 24 questions and answers between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, this all comes about because there is some non-clarity that was caused by the Shikhas HaTorah. Then he goes one more point, and this is a point where, from life experience, I could say that many women, if not all women, have a problem with this. And this is where you have two Talmidei Chachamim are fighting in halacha. Somebody just told me a story that they were outside a room, and Rabbi Aaron Kotler Zitzal with another great Talmud Chacham were having a discussion halacha, and it sounded like World War III. Chazal tell us on a pasuk as Vav Besufa, they interpreted Afilu Av Ubenoi Rav Talmidoi Nasim Soinim Zelazeh. A father and a son who are learning Torah, and they're arguing and learning, and they're screaming at each other, and they become like enemies one to another. The Einam Zazim Misham Achenasim Oyhavim Zelazeh. But they, at the end, they become the best. They love each other, the best of friends. So Rav Huttner says, again, the simple understanding of this is that Torah is so powerful that even though a few moments ago you sounded like the worst of enemies, the power of Torah is it can take those worst of enemies and make them the best of friends. It can connect the two people and make them the best of friends. That's a superficial understanding. Rav Huttner says, based on what we've been explaining till now, the way that they become the best of friends is only through the Melchamta Shel Torah. This concept, which is called, quote, Melchamta Shel Torah, there's a battle, there's a war that is waged between the two sides, each side trying to prove that their point is the correct one. That war, which would never have come about if Torah wouldn't have been forgotten, because there's nothing to fight about, we both know what the correct answer is. But no, there's a war between each other. That war, Rav Huttner says, as a result of our fighting, we two together have created a new Bria, a new creation. What is that new creation? Mochamta Shel Torah. That's the give and take, the fight that we had between us. So Rav Huttner says, and I quote these words, Mivnei shekol ava, every love, magia lemroin pizgasa, comes to its height, b'shoa sheshnei atstadim yesh lem shutfis shel yitzira. When those two sides are now partners in a new creation, so the love comes to its highest point. Ushnei atstadim amisnachim ba'alocha, the two sides that are fighting each other in halacha, harei and shutfim, they are now partners, liyitzur shel erech Torah chadash. They've created a new dimension of Torah. What is the name of that new dimension? The name is Milchamta Shel Torah, the war of Torah. So Rav Huttner says it's not that the power of Torah is to take two enemies and transform them into the best of friends. No, it's much deeper than that. What the idea of a father and a son, a Rav and a Talmud, becoming the best of friends, that's only because they were fighting. They would never have come to such a degree of love one for another if they were not have been fighting. Because through their fight, they created a new creation. What's the new creation? The new creation is the fight itself. That it was the 24 questions that Rish Lakish challenged Rabbi Yochanan, and the 24 answers that Rabbi Yochanan gave back to Rish Lakish, that whole fight back and forth created Rav Chashmaitza. It created an enlargement of the Torah, which would never have been if they wouldn't have been fighting. And when two partners create a new thing, that brings the height of love from one of the to the other. So it's not that they love each other in spite of the fact that they were enemies, but according to Rav Huttner, the only reason they love each other is because they were enemies. The fact that they were enemies and they were fighting one with another, that created the new dimension of Torah called the Melchamta Shel Torah, the fight of Torah. And again, as I said, that the women, when they see two grown-up men fighting with each other, each one wants to tear the other one apart. They have a hard time with this. But according to Rav Huttner, if not for the fight, you wouldn't create the whole new dimension of Torah, which the fight itself represents.
Even if they don't come to a conclusion between them, if they don't
right, agree and, at the end. Right, and even if they don't agree, that's what the Chazal say. Afal pi shalolu mitarin, valolu mitamin. These say it's ritually clean, and these say it's not ritually clean. It's tameh. Halolu poislin valolu machshirin. They say it's possible. They say it's kosher. Halolu poitrin valolu machayovim. They say he owes them money. They say he doesn't owe him money. Elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. If they're both grounded in the legitimate way that the Torah is learnt, so then they both have on them the name of Torah. So would it not have been for the forgetting of Torah, there would not be the two opinions, which both now have a legitimate claim to be part of the Torah. So Rav Huttner says, it comes out a beautiful thing. We thought before that Poras is gone. The Golus of Bavel is gone. But the Golus of Yavin, in some form, still stays till today, says Rav Huttner, no, that's superficial. But if you look at it deeper, it means the following. The Chashmonaim, when they defeated the Yavonim, they took, like someone who, Rav Huttner says, a mushroom, we make a vaccine. And sometimes a vaccine is taken from the disease itself. And that causes you to be able to create a vaccine which protects you from the illness in the future. So that when the Yevonim were defeated by the Hashmonaim, what the Hashmonaim did is to take the light from the darkness. And that's what he says, the uniqueness of every Yontiv there's a uniqueness to every Yontiv. What's the uniqueness of Hanukkah? The uniqueness of Hanukkah is that it's the last of the Yom Tovim. And what was the purpose of the last Yontiv? The purpose of the last Yontiv of Hanukkah, which is going to last us until Mashiach comes, Oz Egmar, Bashir Mizmar, Chanukah Samizbeach. The Chanukah of the Mizbeach that the Hashmonaim were able to do in the Beis HaMikdash is going to be finished. It's never ending until Mashiach comes. It's a long bridge that we have to use until Mashiach comes. What did the Hashmonaim accomplish? They accomplished that you, Yavin, are giving us darkness. You said you want us to forget the Torah. What we're doing is taking that concept of Shikhas HaTorah and we're extrapolating from it the light. Where the Shikhas HaTorah is from the forgetting of the Torah, we're creating light. And that we didn't have by any other Yontif. So that's the greatness of Hanukkah. You want us to forget. It's not that we have a remnant of your causing us to forget. What we did is to elevate your causing us to forget and making that itself into be part of the Torah. Because if we wouldn't have forgot, we wouldn't have had two opinions. We wouldn't have had the Mochamta Shel Torah. We wouldn't have had the Raf Choshmaitza, the how Torah got enlarged. So we're taking your disease and we're elevating it, we're making from it a vaccine. By Parsum, what I am, by Bavel, we just stopped it, finished, gone. By Yavan, that what's the Chiddush of what we did to Yavan is that we elevated the darkness, and we made the darkness itself into light. Beautiful pshat from Rav Futter.
So you're saying that they both have to be L'shem Shemayim.
Yeah, of course, 100%. We're talking about only two people, Rabbi Yossi ben Yoichin, Rabbi Yossi ben Yehazer. We're not speaking about a conservative rabbi. We're not speaking about somebody who distorts the Torah. But we're saying someone who does it according to the Yud Gimel Midrashat Torah Nedrashus Ben. And he understands it one way, he understands another. And Eilu ve'Eilu, Divrei Elokim Chayim, they're both true. One may be used in Olam Hazeh, one will be used in Olam Haba. They both have legitimacy. But that's only because we forgot the Torah. One final point, we have a few minutes left. Rav Huttner brings us to another Chazal. And the Chazal say that the Gemara in Yuma Daf Chof Tes says that Esther is compared to the morning star, Ayelas HaShachar. Ma Shachar Soif HaLayla, Av Esther Soif HaNissen. Just like the morning star is the end of the night, so too Esther represents the end of open miracles done for Klal Yisrael. The Gemara asks the question, wait a second, what about Chanukah? Even though Chanukah is earlier in the year than Purim, but in history, historically, Purim story is before Hanukkah. Hanukkah was later in history than Purim. So the Gemara answers, no. We're talking about a day where you could write it down. In other words, there are certain things that are written in Torah and certain things are not written. Hanukkah never became Megillah Santiyah, we have a Megillah, but it never became one of the 24 books of Tanakh, of the Sforum of Tanakh. There is a Megillah Santiyah, but we don't read it on Hanukkah. It's not part of what we call the Kisvei HaKodesh. So the Gemara is saying, you're right, Hanukkah came after Purim in history, but we're only discussing, when we say Esther is the end of all miracles, we mean a day that is written down. So Rav Huttner's question is, what does writing down have to do with the day? In other words, writing down is a din in Torah. Is this one of the 24 books of Tanakh, or is it not one of the 24 books? But here we're not discussing writing it as part of Torah. Here we're discussing, is it a holiday of Nisim, of miracles, or not? So you're telling me, oh, It's not a, we're not speaking about something that has to be written, that's not written down. What is that? But it's still a day of miracles. What is the fact that you don't write it down have to do with saying that there was miracles done on that day? So apparently, somehow, the fact that it's not written down has not only to do with Torah, but it has to do with the very holiday of Chanukah itself. There's something with Chanukah that has to do with the fact that it's not written down. And in fact, Rav Huttner is going to try to answer a famous question, that if you look in the Mishnayos, we don't find any mention of Ner Chanukah. In the Gemara discusses what's Chanukah all about. But the Mishnah came after the story of Chanukah. Rebbe in the Mishnah, you would think, would discuss Chanukah. He doesn't say a word. There's one place he mentions Ner Chanukah, has nothing to do with Chanukah. It has to do with if somebody left a menorah and some flax got burnt, who's chayiv to pay or not. Has nothing to do with the story of Chanukah. It has to do with damaging somebody. If you're Ner Chanukah, cause the fire, about damaging. But about the story itself, not mentioned. Why isn't it mentioned in the Mishnah? A famous question that all the Mephorshim ask. So Rav Huttner explains as follows. There's a pasuk in Hosea. The pasuk says, "Echtav loy rubi toirasai, kemoizar nechshavu." That if the Torah would have been written down, we Klal Yisrael would have been considered like strangers. We have a rule which we mentioned before that Torah shebal peh is not supposed to be written down. Why do we have today the oral Torah written down in Mishnah and Gemara, as we mentioned? Because the Bnei Yisrael started forgetting. If it wouldn't have been written down, they would have forgotten the whole Torah. Eis lasis l'Hashem, heferis tersecha. It's a time to do something for the Torah. If they wouldn't have written it down, the whole Torah would have been forgotten. So what the Pasuk in Hosea is telling us, as the Gemara explains, is that there is a bris, there is a covenant that was made between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. The Goyim translated the Torah Shebiksav, the written Torah, into their languages. I think recently I heard that the Chumash, the Bible, is translated in more, the Klozim Garebi, I think, points this out, I think in 500 languages. There was no book that was translated in as many languages as the Bible, as the Chumash. But the Pasuk in Hosea is telling us that if the, I don't know what Art Scroll is going to do with this Gemara, with this Chazal, but it says that if the Torah Shebal Peh, with the oral Torah, would also have been written down, then we would have lost our special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as part of a bris, says Rav Huttner, a covenant between two parties. We have a covenant with Hashem. Hashem made a covenant with us based on Torah Shebal Peh. What makes us unique amongst the nations, the Goyim also believe in the Old Testament, in the Bible. What makes us special is understanding the Chumash. So how do you understand the Torah Shebal Peh? Only through the Torah Shebal Peh. So there's the special relationship that we have with Hashem is when the Torah Shebal Peh is not written down. Now the Gra says that we say in every day in Birchas HaTorah, one bracha is Asher Bochar Bono, Hashem chose us to be this Am Segula, the special nation. The other bracha is Asher Nasan Lanu, He gave us the Torah. When did Hashem choose us to be the special nation? This was on Beis Sivan. The Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan. Asher Nasan Lanu, He gave us the Torah. But when He said, Va'atem Tiuli Mamlechas Kohen V'Goy Kodesh, you should be a priestly nation and a holy people, and I'm choosing you, V'yisimli Segula Mikol Ha'am, you're special amongst all the nations in the world, that was done on the second day of Sivan. So Rav Huttner says it comes out that this prohibition, that the Torah, oral Torah, should not be written down, which is part of the covenant between the Jewish people and Hashem. Because if the Torah Shebal Peh is written down and every Gentile has access to the Torah Shebal Peh, that takes away from our special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with our covenant. So it comes out that Isser is not just one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. It's fundamental to the basic essence of what a Jew is in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not from Vav Sivan. That Isser has to do from Bey Sivan. That has to do with Asher Bachar Banu. It doesn't have to do with Asher Nasan Lanu. He gave us the Torah, and it has 630 mitzvahs. This is much more fundamental. This Isser, if you're going to translate the Torah Shebaal Peh into other languages, then you yourself will become like a stranger. Your unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because the Goyim don't have access to the Torah Shebaal Peh. If they would have access, then there's no Asher Bachar Banu. He chose us. One of the ways he chose us is by not giving them access to the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's special only for the Jewish people. He goes on and says that even though Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote down the Mishnah because he had no choice, because or else the Jews would forget the Torah at all, Eis L'Asel Hashem, a special Hirah Shah to do it, but they're still left over from the old Isser. What does that mean? The Gemara many times tells us that there are lines missing in a Mishnah. It says, Chesurei Mechs Rivachi Tani. You have a very good question, whatever your question is, and the answer is, there are words and lines missing in the Mishnah. Once you put in these words, then everything makes sense. So why didn't Rebbe put the words in the Mishnah to begin with? Why did he leave it out? The answer is because, or the Gemara says, here, Torah Niyin B'makam Echad, V'ashirim B'makam Acher. Means right here, we don't understand, but if we learned a different place, then we're rich over there. If we understand over there, we'll understand over here. So why don't you put it right here? Why do you have to go to over there? Why are you missing words? The answer is, it's like someone taking notes. You write down a word, a phrase, and then you remind you what the Rebbe said, the whole thing. Even when Rebbe wrote down the entire Torah, Shebaal Peh, but he left over that you're still going to be missing things that you need your Rebbe to explain to you. He didn't want to take the he didn't want to take the Gemara as a substitute for a Rebbe. You still need the Rebbe. But as time went on, we wrote down the Mishnah, then we began to forget more, we had to write down the Gemara, then we have Rishonim and Achronim, we have to write and write and write, but with all the writing and writing, it's still notes that you need. You can't learn Gemara just by opening up a Gemara and learning it by yourself. It goes from a Rebbe to a Talmud. So Rav Hutner is trying to understand this. If there is a, for example, if you have a mitzvah to Mechal Shabbos, so you're allowed to do it. You're Hutra, it's permitted. You don't have to, in other words, if we're dealing just with a mitzvah of not writing things down, so what's this point that we still have a remnant of Torah Shebaal Peh not being written down? You still need your Rebbe. If you're allowed to, so do it all the way. Why are you still keeping? The answer is because, again, we just said this is not just a regular mitzvah. This is part of the covenant between Hashem and the Bnei Yisrael. So whatever we have to write down, we're forced to, we write down. But whatever we can still keep from the covenant, we want to remember what the original bris was. If it would be like any other mitzvah, so once I have a heter, I'm allowed to break that mitzvah, because I'm going to forget the whole Torah, so I'm allowed to write it down. So write it down all the way. Why do you leave words out that you have to fill in? But if it represents Beis Sivan, Asher Bachar Banu, he chose us. So even though we're forced to write down, we don't want to forget that we have a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as much as I need to write down, I write down. But whatever I could still do verbally from my Rebbe to the Talmud, I want to remember that I have a special covenant with Hashem. If I'm going to write everything down, every single last word, then I'm going to forget that I have a special covenant with Hashem. And this explains something else. We know that a person has to give up his life for three things. For Gili Araya, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. For idol worshipping, and illicit relationships, and murder. For those three things, if somebody says, I'll kill you unless you kill the other person, you have to let yourself be killed. I'll kill you unless you serve Avodah Zarah, you have to let yourself be killed. But if it's a time of Shmad, if it's a time when the Goyim are trying to convert us, then even if a Jew's minig is to wear a black shoelace, and the goy says, I want you to wear a red shoelace, you have to give your life up. So Rav Huttner explains, what is that all about? Just because, I mean, but what's the big deal? Okay, his custom is to wear red. I'm doing something of a custom of a goy. But that's not something normally you have to give up your life for. Why do I have to suddenly give up my life? Because he has in his mind that he wants to convert me. Does that make my prohibition worse? It's not worse because he has something in his mind. So why do I have to give up my life? The answer is, when he's coming to convert you, then we don't just look at the mitzvah. When you're looking just at mitzvahs, then there's three hard mitzvahs, and the rest you have to live. He tells you, eat pork or I'm going to kill you. You have to eat the pork. It's only three mitzvahs that you give up your life. Otherwise, v'chai bohem. You have to live with the Torah. However, when he is coming to convert you, then he's going not against Asher Nasan Lanu Es HaTorah. He gave us the Gar. He's going against the special, unique relationship. Asher Bochar Bonu. Ah, Asher Bochar Bonu. Then I have to give up my life. As Rav Huttner explains at the end of the Sefer, because that's going against the love of Hashem. How do we learn you have to give up your life for Hashem? Because it says, "B'chol levavcha v'haftas Hashem l'kecha b'chol levavcha nafshecha." So when if a goy comes to me and says, "I want to shmudge you, I want to convert you," so then even for a shoelace, that at that moment, if I would switch to the red shoelace, it means I'm showing a betrayal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's more than just a mitzvah. For a mitzvah alone, your life comes first. But this is more than a mitzvah. This goes against the whole choosing. We are the chosen people. He's trying to shmudge you. He's going against that love that you should have for Hashem. He's causing you to rebel against Hashem. Then you have to give up your life, even for a custom of a red or a black shoelace. So Rav Huttner says that since we defined that what is Hanukkah? Hanukkah was the first attempt to shmud Jews. The Hellenists wanted us to be over al adas, to go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we see you have to give up your life even for a custom, not even for the three Averas, for the whole Torah, even a small a custom. Red shoelace, black shoelace. So that was the Mesiris Nefesh of the Chashmonoim, that you want to take us away from the covenant of which we have a special relationship with Hashem, Asher Bochar Banu. We're going to fight you till the end. So Hanukkah represents the bris, the covenant that we have Hashem. Part of that bris is that you shouldn't translate the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's what the Gemara means. You know what's the last of the Nisim? Esther. Ask the Gemara, wait a second, what about Hanukkah came later in history? Yeah, but Hanukkah is not written down. And Rav Huttner says, what does that mean? That's why it's not written in the Mishnah either. Because it's trying to remind us that Hanukkah represents the part of the Torah that's not supposed to be written down, which is Torah Shabbat Peh, which is equivalent to our special relationship with Hashem. That's why it's not written in the Mishnah. That's why Chazal say Hanukkah is not the last nest. Purim is the last nest. What about Hanukkah? Hanukkah represents a holiday, a yontiv, where we remind ourselves that things are not written down. The Torah Shabbat Peh is not written down. If Torah Shabbat Peh is not written down, that's the bris that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, and that explains why everything about Hanukkah is not written down. It's not in the 24 books of the Torah. It's not written down in the Mishnah, because it represents the special relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody should have a Freilich and Hanukkah.